Alrighty. Thank you, Daniel, for full naming me. That was pleasant. this theme this month, send me, I'll go. This is a great theme. Yes? Yes? It is a weighty theme. Yes? How many times have you heard God say something and just gone, yeah, yeah, I don't really want to, but sure. I once heard someone say, never tell God what you really don't want to do, because that's exactly what he'll call you to do. He's got a funny sense of humor that way. The number of times that I have done the kinder drop-off in the morning, and mind you, Gideon only started kinder at the beginning of this year, but I've done the kinder drop-off in the morning, no makeup, hair a mess, trackies, like rushed out the door, haven't even had coffee. I'm like, I'm dropping him off, going home, having coffee, like resetting myself, and God's gone, hey, you should have a chat with that person before you leave school. And I'm like this? Are you kidding me? My brain doesn't even work. I haven't had coffee. We can be so reluctant to step into what God is calling us to do, even when it's something small, right? Let alone when it's something big, right? To actually stand before God and say, send me, I'll go, is a huge thing. Last week, Meg talked to us about how Gideon was called by God, heard God, reassured by God over and over and over and over again, and yet was still reluctant to carry through with the vision that God had for him. But how kind is the heart of God that he still wanted to partner with Gideon to see fruit come to his people. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus tells a parable about a man, about his wealth. But more than that, he tells this parable about what controls us and what controls our heart. And when it comes to the small stuff, it says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with very much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. When God calls us to do the little things and we can't bring ourselves to do it, how much more difficult is it going to be when he calls us to do the hard things? We are sinful beings, which means that fear and doubt and pride creep in oh so easily. But they're no match for the power and the promises of God. This morning, we're going to jump into the story of Joshua. And usually when we talk about Joshua, we talk about the big wall of Jericho falling down, slushies getting thrown at the peas walking around there. No, if anybody else has kids who watch Bed Details, you'll get that. slushies and French peas. But actually today we're going to talk about what happened before Jericho. When Joshua took over the command of the Israelites and said, yes, God, send me, I'll go. If you catch nothing else from this message this morning, I want you to get this. When God calls us, he's asking us to have faith in a plan that's already complete. So when Israel was led out of Egypt by Moses, they were expecting freedom, right? They'd been slaves 400 years in Egypt. They saw all of these plagues happen that eventually led Pharaoh to release them from slavery. They walked through the Red Sea, parted all the way across this land, and they were like, cool, 2 weeks, we'll be in the land that God promised us. It was 400 kilometres from where? From Egypt to the land of Canaan, where they were meant to be. The land that had been promised, not just to them, but 500 years earlier, 500 plus years earlier, to Abraham and Jacob. What happened, though, is that due to a lack of faith, they wandered around the desert for 40 years. And eventually the generation that left Egypt never actually made it into the land that God had promised them. So we pick up here in Joshua 1, and we are going to work our way through the whole chapter, but I believe that what God has in this chapter for us is actually a blueprint of what he provides for us when he calls us. Cool? All right, so let's do this. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the way to the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has tasked Joshua with something that has already been set in place hundreds of years before. Joshua is the one who gets to see it come to fruition. What God is doing here is giving a promise that if Joshua remains faithful, they will see the promised land. If God has given you a promise, you get to step out in strength and courage that he will bring it to fruition, right? The thing is, God is above time. So God can see what we are facing now. He can see what's going to happen in the future. He can see the whole thing, the whole picture. And so if God says something is going to happen, he's already seen it happen. God cannot lie. So if God says something is going to happen, it is going to happen. Now, the trap that we fall into is adding caveats to what God has said is going to happen, right? It's going to happen in my timeline, in the way I imagine it. But don't we know that Ephesians 3:20 says that he's going to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine? God is outside of time. He's outside of what we can see. He is God. He is the creator. If he wants something to happen, it's going to happen. He wanted man. He made man. He wanted creation. He created. He wanted light. He made light. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. If God has called you to something, have faith in that calling. Even if you cannot see it, God is working things for his glory, right? I've spoken about this before. Our existence is for the glory of God. So what we do with our lives is for the glory of God. His intention is that in every circumstance, we would bring glory to him, that his glory would be revealed more and more and more, drawing us closer and closer to his glory. It's like a glory circle, right? Like the circle of glory. We can't escape it. However, a wedge has caused a break in that circle. It's like one of those rings that's adjustable now. It's like, I see the glory, I don't see the glory. I see the glory, I don't see the glory. The chasm is fear and doubt and pride and lies of the enemy. We see time and time again in the Word, people who have been called, people who have had deep relationship with God, they've experienced his immense miraculous power firsthand, and yet fear and doubt and pride stand in the way. We heard about Gideon, the just prove it to me one more time guy. Jonah was a prophet of God, regular communication with God, constantly warning Israel of what would happen if they disobeyed God, if they fell away from God, if they were not faithful to God. He was not faithful to God, right? God asked him to do something that was scary that he didn't want to do, and he was like, nah, I'm going to sail the other way. But God was gracious enough to give him a second chance. David was ordained by God to be a king from when he was teeny tiny little dude. He defeated a giant. He reigned over God's people. And he screwed up so many times. In the middle of his reign, he allowed himself to fall into adultery and murder, lured by lust and desire. Even Moses, God spoke to him through a burning bush. After saving him as a baby, Moses experienced the plagues of Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea. He experienced God's glory pass by him on the Mount Sinai when he received the Ten Commandments. And still, when instructed by God to speak to a rock in order that water would pour out of it, did it his own way. Despite our incompetence, our lack of faith, our pride, our desire, God will bring what he has ordained for his glory to completion. But if we don't repent, if we don't turn back to him, we may miss our chance to be a part of the promise. This is what happened to Moses. In Numbers 20, verse 12, after the rock situation, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." What a warning. What a warning to us. This is why we find ourselves in the story of Joshua. Because despite everything that Moses had seen and done, he was still lacking faith. Now, God honored everything that he did. And in Deuteronomy, we hear that no prophet had risen in Israel like Moses. The Lord knew him face to face, and he did signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in Egypt. No one had ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. But he still missed his opportunity to see the promised land because he lacked faith. And he decided to do it his own way. Like I said, God's heart is that we would bring him glory, right? So his heart for us is towards reconciliation. But soberingly, glory will come whether we're part of it or not. We have opportunities like Jonah, second chances, to show faith, to partner with God, to persevere through what fear, pride, doubt, whatever we're facing, and stand firmly in faith, or to fall like Moses and miss out on the opportunity presented to us. A.W. Tozer said, "True faith rests upon the character of God and asks no further proof than the moral perfections of the one who cannot lie." So when we are deceived, when we are fearful of what might come next, when I'm scared that someone's going to judge me with my no makeup face and my hair and my sweats and my whatever when I try and have a chat with them, it doesn't matter about me. But all I am doing is stepping out in faith. God's doing the work. It doesn't matter about my character. Although we are called to step closer and closer to Christ's likeness and to be growing and developing, but ultimately it's not about me, it's about the character of God. Success, when God has set a vision in front of you, is not about what you can do, it's about what God can do. And we've already established that God cannot lie, that God cannot ask of us something that won't come to fruit. So we take confidence, we take strength and courage in the fact that God is at work. If we remain faithful, he will complete that work with us. As we continue in this chapter in Joshua, verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people in to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. We know that if God has ordained it, he will bring it to fruit. But here, he gives us the warning. Do not depart from my word. That's exactly what Moses did. God said, do this. Speak to the rock and it will let out water. Moses disobeyed and he hit the rock with a stick instead. That's a small thing, right? But the small things show what we're led by. Moses was like, oh, this will work too. But it wasn't the word. How many times have you watched a video on YouTube, a reel on Instagram, read some random blogger's post, even a pastor, even listened to a message, even listening to this message, and gone, oh yeah, that sounds like the word, that'll do, without actually going back to the word yourself? It's not an interpretation of the word, it's the word. And God's warning to Joshua is, do not depart from the word. That's not to say that teaching and pastoring and preaching is not important. What that is to say is that your spirit, the spirit in you, God in you, needs to take what you've heard and apply it to your situation. Not you, not your worldview, not your sinful humanness. It is the spirit in you that will ensure that you do not depart from the word. That is how we can be strong and courageous. Very strong and courageous. Because we're not reliant on ourselves. We're not reliant on our sinful nature. We're reliant on the spirit of God in us who interprets the word for us. Be strong and very courageous. Because when it's the spirit reading the word, when it's the spirit interpreting his own words to you, you will not depart. Hebrews 14:12 describes the word of God as living, active, and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, capable of discerning the deepest parts of a person, including their thoughts and intentions. This is the transformative nature of the word of God. This Bible has the ability to expose hidden aspects of our human condition that separate our spiritual being from our physical action. It exposes the places where our faith and our actions are misaligned, and it gives us the tools to realign our thoughts, behaviors, and plans with what the Spirit is calling us to do. In verse 9, it says this, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, when these words were spoken, the Lord was still separate from the people. Right? We learnt in Pentecost, on Pentecost Sunday, that was the point at which God came and dwelled amongst his people, in his people, that the Holy Spirit lives in us today from that moment onwards. But all these years ago, God was still a person, a thing, a pillar of fire, a cloud that followed in the day. He was still separate, close to, but separate from his people. How much more can we take this instruction, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go? Not just in front of us, not just providing from a distance, but literally in us wherever we go. And so in every single situation, when we hear the call of God, when we feel a stirring in our spirit, when we hear, oh, you should chat to this person, oh, you should do this, oh, you should do that, it is God in us. And so if we do not depart from the word, we can truly be strong and courageous in whatever we are facing. The third thing that we learn from this is that there is preparation for the mission. God doesn't just say, go, unprepared. It's amazing how many times you go through something in life and you're like, what even is going on? Why am I facing this? And then 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years down the track, you're like, I understand now. I needed to go through that so that I can do this. God prepares us for the mission without us even knowing it a lot of the time. But we read here in verse 10 and 11, and it says, Joshua ordained the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. There was a call, and then there was time for preparation. And so often we will hear a call from God, more likely in the big things than the small. I didn't have time to go home and fix my hair before I talked to, no preparation there. But so often we'll hear a call and years or decades later, it will be the right time. In this case, it was 3 days. My parents heard the call. So they are now Salvation Army officers and have been for, how long have we been married? 11 years? 12 years they've been Salvation Army officers. My mum heard the call 20 years before my dad. 20 years. So much stuff happened in those 20 years. But they prepared. Mum prepared herself, did the work that God was calling her to do, did what she needed to do to get to a point. And then when it was Dad's turn, he took the time. And even after the two of them were on the same page with the call of God, it still took a few years before God said, go. But their heart posture was preparation. Their heart posture was, send us. When you are ready, we will go. And we also need to prepare, right? The Israelites here, it wasn't preparing to walk into some farmland and like kick over some sheep and be like, hey, it's mine now. They were preparing for battle. So their armor and their weapons and their tools, there would have been ranks and roles and responsibilities, and there would have been some, you know, planning and, all right, so we're going to move around this way and you're going to move around this way and we'll listen to God and whatever he tells us to do. And everyone would have known their roles and responsibilities. They were preparing for battle. We are in the midst of battle every single day, right? Spiritual battle. I don't care about the guy that you're fighting with at work. That's not the thing. It's a thing, but it's not the thing, right? It's about our spirit. It's about what we are facing. It's about heaven and hell. It's about the end game. Meg spoke last week about how we have the armor of God at our disposal. The belt of truth, the word, the breastplate of righteousness, remaining right with God, our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That means the ability to stand firm. Peace that God has the situation in place. We take up the shield of faith. So whatever doubt, pride, fear, anxiety, whatever the enemy tries to throw at us, bounces straight back off. Because we know that what we are fighting is for the call of God. Where we are going, God has already promised. Where we are going to has already come to fruit, and we are standing firm in faith. And we can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. We take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Prepare for the battle. Assess your armor. What are you lacking? Where are the chinks? Where can the lies of the enemy get in? Are you lacking faith? Are you lacking peace? Are you ready to run at the first sign of danger? Because you're not able to stand firm in the peace of God. do the work in the Spirit. Seek discipleship. Who knows that we are notoriously blind to our own shortcomings? This is what discipleship is for. True, real discipleship. Proverbs 16:18 gives us a warning. It says that pride goes before destruction, a haughty or lofty, high, arrogant spirit before a fall. If we are preparing to do battle, but our shield has a big hole in the middle of it because we're too prideful to go, oh, that probably shouldn't be there, we're going down, right? Don't let lies, doubt, fear, pride, lust, arrogance take you out of the plan that God has in place for your life. We might falter like Jonah, but you don't want to miss out on the promised land like Moses did, right? Joshua chapter 1, verses 11 and 15. Nope, further than that. 12 to 15. It says, "But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land.'" So these tribes, they'd already settled in their place. It says, "Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them." I said before that we need discipleship. And sometimes we can feel like we are already settled. Maybe you're already walking in the calling that God has for you in that season. You're not done yet. Just because God has delivered you to the place that you're in and that he's called you to doesn't mean that your job is done. You are one of these settled tribes who is being called to help the others, to help them achieve what God has called them to. If you are in the midst of your battle, lean on those people. They have been where you have been. They have fought the battles that you have fought. Lean on their experience and their discipleship and bring them on the journey with you. One of the beautiful things about life in community is that even when we're in the midst of it, we see glimmers of hope in the people that have come out of the other side, right? God knows us. Reese said this, God knows us so well. He knows that we doubt and we fear and we have pride. And so he has given us the church to show us our poor, sad human eyes that need to actually see something in real life to help us not doubt. He has given us opportunity to see his promises come to fruition in the testimony of others. How kind. How kind of God that he would give us that. But we need to be vulnerable. We need to be open. We need to ask people to check our eyes for logs. Because like I said, pride will take us out. The battle we are doing is not physical, it is spiritual. And so it's so easy to hide from those around us. We can put on a face, we can put on a facade, we can pretend like our armor is all good. We're just like, you know, there's a hole in the armor, but you just color it in with a silver pen and you're like, nah, it's fine. No hole here. Has anyone done that with a leather shoe before? I remember growing up, my leather school shoes always had scuffs, and you take a permanent marker and you'd like color it in. And you'd be like, nah, nothing wrong. See, perfect. That's why I wear sneakers now. But it's so easy to cover up where we are lacking. We need people. We need partnership. In Philippians 1, 3 to 6, Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is in prison, writing to the church in Philippi. He is absolutely in the deep end, but he is writing to encourage them that their partnership in completing what God has called them all to uplift them, to encourage them, to keep them grounded firmly in the faith, because he knows that that is the most important thing. This story of Joshua tells us that God will fulfill his promises. It shows us what we need to do to remain faithful, to stay in the word, to prepare our hearts for the mission, and to battle together. When God calls us, he is asking us to have faith in a plan that is already complete. And he has given us everything we need to keep our faith firm in him. The word, the armor of God, the spirit in us, and the people around us. So when it's 9 o'clock in the morning and you're barely awake and you've barely made it through school drop-off and you're desperate for a coffee and God says, hey, go talk to that person, do you pause because you're worried what they might think about what you look like that morning? Or do you say, yes, God, I'll go, regardless? Maybe it's something bigger. Maybe God has given you a vision for an outreach program that's going to change the face of family breakdowns in our local area. But you doubt your ability. Like Moses, oh, I can't speak publicly. I couldn't possibly get something like that off the ground. Maybe it's here's a passion to help troubled youth find their purpose. Here's a call to step into ministry, to plant a church, to go overseas. Here is a new job, a new city, a new state. Here is a role at church. Start doing photography. So Kate doesn't have to do it every week. It might be small. It might look small to somebody else, but be huge for you. That's fine. Because it's not about us, right? It's about relying on the one who cannot lie. It's about standing firm in the one who is always true. What is our response? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, this is the Israelites responding to Joshua's commands to them. And I think it gives a pretty good picture of what we should respond to God. They answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. When God calls us, he is asking us to have faith in a plan that is already complete. So fear, doubt, anxiety, pride, worry, get out of the way. For the big and for the small, he has given us everything that we need. The word, the tools, the spirit, the people. But if we don't do the work, then we risk missing out. As much as things on this earthly plane seem like the biggest thing, it's actually the state of our spirit that is most at stake. And ultimately that battle is done and won. Your faith determines your outcome. When God calls us to step out into something, to do something, when he puts a vision in place, it's a matter of faith or fear. Which really, if you boil down to it, is life or death. And if we go all the way back to that verse in Luke, what is it that has control of your life when God calls you to something, big or small? Is it faith or is it fear? Is it God or is it the enemy? Send me, I'll go, is a statement of faith that ultimately says, I will live for the glory and the worship of the one who created me, not for my own desires and comfort. In the big things and the small things. In talking to that guy at work that God's put on your heart. In saying yes to the giant call to move overseas and go be a missionary. In every little thing in between. If God is niggling something in your heart, you have to do something about it. Or you're not being faithful. Ouch. I've definitely said no to God before. It's not always a no. It's usually, oh, it's not yet. I'm not ready yet. I can't possibly see how that is going to work with my current life circumstance. Anybody else done that? Yeah, God, I hear what you're saying, but I have two toddlers and I do not understand how that's going to work. I have no time. Do I have faith that he will succeed? Or do I have faith in my own abilities or lack of abilities? Faith or fear? This morning, we're going to close in prayer. I encourage you to stand with me. This series, Send Me, I'll Go, I said before, it's weighty, right? Because if you surrender to God, he's very often going to make you do something that's not comfortable. We don't exist for comfort. We exist for the glory of God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to pray along with me that we'll get out of God's way. That we would have faith that his plan will come to fruit. That we would have faith in his ability, his truth, not ours. Cool? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you reign. I thank you that we were created for your glory. Lord God, I thank you that you are calling us to something, big or small. Lord God, that you don't just leave us where you are, that you call us to greatness. You call us to more. Lord God, that we are not made for comfort, that we are made for glory. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help each of us surrender to what you have for us. Lord God, that we would put down anything that the enemy is trying to throw at us, Lord God. We know that the battle we face is not what we can see, but it is in the spiritual realm, Lord God, and that as we are pulled away from what you have for us, Lord God, the enemy gains ground. So Heavenly Father, I declare this morning that we are moving into what you have for us, Lord God, for the call that you have put on our lives, and that our fear and our anxiety, our pride, our self-centeredness, our own sense of comfort, Lord God, would be quashed. Lord God, I declare that there is peace and prosperity in what you have for us, Lord God. Not earthly riches, Lord God, but prosperity in faith. Lord God, that our hearts would just be so overwhelmed with your goodness and your grace and Christ-likeness, Heavenly Father, as we move into the call that you have for us. Amen. Amen. If you are unsure about what God might be calling you to, or if you have something on your heart that you're like, oh, he's doing something and I don't know, I need some clarification, discipleship, right? Share it with someone. You have to do the work in your spirit for what God is calling you to, but this is a place where we partner with you, to intercede with you, to pray with you, to stand with you as you work that through with God. And so if you want prayer from the ministry team for whatever it is that you are facing, whatever it is that God is calling you to, come down the front and we would love to pray with you. Otherwise, make sure you jump into a connect group, pray with your connect group leaders. You can email hello@infinitychurch.org and we will get our prayer team interceding on your behalf. Do not miss your chance to step into the call that God has for you, right? And also lean into this training block that we have, because this is the practical outworking of what God is setting in place in this church, right? We know that God is calling us to something. Take the opportunity to partner with people, to pray, to practically come up with ideas of how to implement what God is doing in the spiritual realm in this physical plane. Cool? Awesome. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. Go grab a coffee. See you soon.